The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
A little breaking news this morning. It's not huge, but it's still worthy of a breaking news. The New York Giants are shipping defensive tackle Damian Harrison to the Detroit Lions. Hey, this comes on the heels after them sending Eli Apple to the Saints yesterday. So it's amazing what a Monday night loss to Atlanta can do for a team. It's like, oh, we lost. Everybody's on the trading block except Eli Manning. Is Eli Manning getting talked about in trading? Not yet. But the Giants are now in full fire sale mode. What were you saying, Ron, about the Marlins, like taking a page out of Derek Jeter and the Marlins?
Yeah, I thought maybe the Giants are jealous.
Yeah.
Were the Giants always fan of Jeets?
Let's strip it down to nothing. He just signed with the Giants not that long ago. He just signed a nice deal with the Giants. They're stripping it down. It's going to be a while. Boy, wow. How crazy is this story? How about crazy is this team? I know we talked about them yesterday after they're, you know, losing to Atlanta in a very, kind of weird game.
In a very Giants way.
A very Giants way. Oh, and by the way, if I see one more article that says Pat Shurmur going for two down eight was the right call, I'm going to lose my mind. Just, can we just have common sense for a second? Like, do we have to break down analytics now? Like, is that our new norm? I don't have time for math, okay?
No, your math is not adding up, Tony. That's basically what you're saying. Your math is not adding up.
No, you know, he had a 52.78. I don't care. I just, when you're down eight, kick the extra point. If you want to go for two later, go for two later, but kick the extra point. Just move on and get the ball back and try to go for the tie and maybe go for the win if you want to be like Mike Vrabel. But
if you think about it in hindsight, it doesn't really matter because you know, Eli was going to try to quarterback sneak it twice. So maybe he already knew.
Send your 37-year-old quarterback to get 1 yard and then send him out there again to get 1 yard. Oh, dumb. Weird. But anyway, the Giants' fire sale has begun at 1-6 on the season. They are throwing in the towel for this season. They are done. They are locked into next year and the year beyond that and figuring out where they're going. For Eli Manning, time is coming to an end in New York. Tony D, Ron Culver, this is SB Nation AM.
Guys, the holidays are quickly approaching. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. Now, back to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So the Giants fire sale is now underway. They are getting rid of players to kind of trim down and get ready for rebuilding any way they want to rebuild. Adam Schefter had some fun yesterday saying Eli Apple was traded to the Saints. He kind of teased that it was a Eli that was traded. And, well, that's funny, but it's not the Eli. Manning says it's hard to imagine being on another with another organization. Of course, he's been there your whole team. You won two Super Bowls with the Giants. I can't imagine wearing another uniform. Been there forever, right? I mean, and of course, you're going to say the right things too. What are you going to say? I want to be somewhere else? No, you're going to be like, no, I want, this is where I want to be.
You didn't want to be in San Diego. Patrick Peterson?
Yeah, exactly. You didn't want to be in San Diego. You became a Giant. You won two Super Bowls. God bless you. You put yourself in Giants lore forever. It hasn't been always the best of times, but you know what? You had some good times. Of course, you're going to say you want to be a Giant forever, but the time is coming. But here's what I've always said about the NFL, and this is very true, that the end for the NFL, it always comes sooner than you want it to. But if you're smart, if you read the tea leaves correctly, you can get out of it quick, you know, better than having the league or a team get rid of you. And I think Peyton Manning was smart when he won the Super Bowl and realized, hey, I don't have the arm. I don't have the legs. I'm getting old. They're not going to need me anymore. I can't produce. I'm out. And I'm out on my terms. I wonder if Eli does that this year. I wonder if Eli realizes, okay, all of this stuff, I'm not going to fight this anymore. I'm not their quarterback going forward. I'm 37 years old. But do I want to get cut? Do I want to get traded? Do I want that as part of... Do I want to be Johnny Unitas in a Chargers uniform? Do I want to be Bobby Orr wearing a Blackhawks jersey? I think I just want to get out of here as a Giant and be good. You know, when Peyton got released from the Colts, that was a different story. He still had a lot of football left to play. And, you know, the neck injury, he wanted to come back from that. He still had a body that could play in this league, you know, if his neck was healthy. Eli can still play, but does Eli want to play for another team or does he want to go... Let me get out of this before the Giants make me get out of this. That's kind of an interesting question. I don't know what would go through your head, how you would process that.
Yeah,
because you know he could squeeze out a few more years. He wanted to go to Jacksonville, he could squeeze out three or four more years in Jacksonville.
Yeah, but
maybe in the 40s, but you know, he could probably still squeeze
and
out.
And the sad years. Thing is that you could go to Jacksonville and be better than Blake Bortles.
Oh, God, yes. Speaking of which, they kind of threw him back into the ring. That's got to be a tough play. I feel for Bortles. In a way, because that's got to be tough to get benched, and then the coach is like, "Well, we're bringing him back," you know, and then just not feeling like it was a. They're not saying like they never said it was a bad game. He was just having a bad day, but he's our starter. Like they were saying to the public, "Hey guys, he's on a short leash. He better produce, or that's it. That's done." And that's got to be. It's going to be devastating, especially when you sign that big contract and you know, I've lost. We were just in the AFC championship 5 minutes ago and now I'm fighting for my job. How quick does this turn around for you? It's amazing. It's amazing. But really, I mean, Blake Bortles. I mean, everybody's been saying this pretty much since day one. He doesn't look like. Like a guy, he looks like a quarterback that can disrupt and destroy everything else around him that's good. Like the defense can hold their opponents to 12 points, but the offense will only score 9. The running game could rack up 100 and 200 yards on the ground, but he could throw 3 picks and they'll lose by 15, 16 points, whatever. That's what I feel with Blake Bortles. So, I don't know. Let's go back to Eli Manning for a second. Especially if you're a Manning, because I know we talked about this yesterday. If Eli Manning was like Eli Jones or Eli Smith or whatever, and he didn't have the Manning legacy, okay. But because he has the Manning legacy, does he want to go out strong? Does he want to say, you know what, I'm calling it a career. It's been great. I had a good time. I love the Giants. And now I'm going off to do whatever I'm going to do. Or does he want to wear another uniform in his 40s and still play?
I mean, I get that it's hard to walk away from the game.
It is hard to walk away. I've always said that.
You know, and really we're always conscientious about that. I mean, we can still remember. Has Brett Favre officially retired?
Yeah, right.
I think he has.
I think he officially has.
Because you know
he looks like old man Brett Favre now.
I know he aged quickly.
Oh, he did.
It's kind of upsetting.
It was. But, wasn't it? It's but a great that, point.
But I mean, but that's what we see, or that's what we know is, you know, someone like Brett Favre, who was, I mean, football was his life. That's who he is. That's who he was. It's I almost equate it as someone who's been in prison for about 20 years and then having to acclimate to real world, real life again.
Yeah. Like Brooks from Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. I mean, because all of a sudden you've been in an institution for so long. That's all you've known. That's your identity. And then you're out in the real world going, okay, what do I do? I imagine for a lot of these guys, you know, it's easy for them, like at the end of the season, you know, the first couple of months of retirement, oh, it's fine. You know, this is the off season. But it's right around when, you know, your summer conditioning, you know, spring conditioning happens, summer OTAs and the end of training camp. That's when it probably starts to hit you. It's like, I don't have to go. What am I going to do?
Yeah, and that's I tried really hard during that time with Favre not to fall in. I remember making a decision. I'm not going to fall into that easy sports radio, you know, mantra. Like, you better just stay retired. Because I got it. Like, if you have been a kid since you're 5 years old and you're playing flag football and then high school football, peewee football, high school football, college football, and that's all you've been doing.
Every August, you're on a team.
Your whole life. And then for a yapper like me to tell you to stay away, like you just, like, no, like play until you absolutely can't. Because a lot of times, most professions, right, you do until you're 70, right? Like if you have a dental practice in a nice little town in America, and you see the same people every time, and you see their kids, and you're just rolling along. You do that till you're 80, right? No one's gonna tell you to stop until you decide, I'm gonna stop. But sports is different. Sports is where outside factors tell you to stop. Your body tells you to stop. Management tells you to stop. An injury tells you to stop, right? Like, you know, there's so many factors that you can't control that tell you you're done. Look, if I'm Eli Manning, would I want to retire a Giant? Would I want to stand at the Giant podium and say, you know what? I've had a great run. I'm done. I'm finished. Yeah. But on the flip side, I'm a Manning. I play football. That's my identity. It's my family's identity. And if I can still play, I'll play. Peyton Manning couldn't play anymore. Peyton Manning knew it. I can't throw this ball like I used to. I can't run like I used to. Like, there's still video of Peyton Manning with a whole bunch of real estate in front of him, and he would throw the ball out of bounds. He knew, I can't run this. I can't do this. My hip hurts. I got a hip injury. I'm dealing with, you know, my legs hurt. I mean, he played hurt last year, and I think it was done. You know, John Elway famously said, you know, like, I love Sundays, but I didn't like Monday through Friday or whatever it was. That's a factor in it. But I could see Eli play a couple years somewhere else just to say, I'm not done with this yet. I'm not finished. I don't care if I win a Super Bowl. I want to be competitive, but I'm doing this because I'm not ready to say goodbye. You know, one of the most, you've probably seen it. There's one piece of video that always gets me a little choked up. Remember when Mariano Rivera was on the mound and Pettit and Jeter came out to get him?
Yes.
Remember that? It's like, you watch that video. If you've never seen the video, Mariano Rivera is pitching in his final game. Well, I think it was his final game at Yankee Stadium, because I think they closed out the year in Houston. So I think he finished out in Houston, but it's his final game in Yankee Stadium. Might have been his final game, period. I don't know if he finished out the year after that, because there was only three games left. But they go to get him. They're going to take him out of the game. They're going to get him, and he's going to walk off to a standing ovation. But instead of the manager going out, they send Andy Pettit and Derek Jeter out to get him. You know, they all grew up together, won championships together. And Mariano kind of like laughs, and he's kind of, oh, here they come, and they come out to get him. And then he hugs Andy Pettit, and he does that guy hug, and he hugs. And then there's a moment he doesn't let go. And then you realize he's crying. He's not letting Andy go. He's like broken down. He's crying. He's done. He knows it, and it hits him. You know, how often in your 30s are you told you can't do something anymore? Like, that's
right.
Like only in sports does that happen, right? If you're a musician, you can tour until you're 70, for crying out loud. But you can't do this. You can't do this in your 40s.
Yeah, that's why I love hearing those stories about, you know, I can't remember who the last one it was, but it was a guy who routinely hit home runs in the majors. and resurfaced in, you know, beer league, softball leagues.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Just he needs to just play the game. And I'm like, God, how great would that be? It's like, you're just pitching this guy. Like, you know, all of a sudden it's like, you know, I will pitch a good one. I want to see how far you hit this thing.
Yeah. Listen, if you had your life to, if you had another life to live and whatever gods are out there and they said, you know what, you've done good and we're going to let you be a pro athlete. And you could say, well, I want to play football because I want to know what it's like to win a Super Bowl, or I want to play baseball because I just love the games. But if you're looking at it from a long time money, just keep pouring in, be a golfer.
Yep.
Be a professional golfer. These guys play in their 40s, and then when they're done, they go on this Champions Tour, and there's money to be made there, too. That is that you can play that until you're 70. You can actually retire and get your AARP card after you're a professional golfer. That's all you've done your whole life, right? That's the more financially strategic idea. If you want to, you know, have a crowd cheer your name and win a Super Bowl, obviously play those sports. But, I mean, those guys never have to say goodbye.
No, like
those guys never have to say goodbye. They just do it with somebody else.
And as the great Happy Gilmore showed us,
yes,
even the loser gets a check.
Even the loser gets a check. That's right.
So you're God, getting you some money.
Great, you can make a great living on tour just finishing middle of the pack, just exactly. Making cuts and finishing no push towards the top.
Yeah,
no,
until you have kids.
Just makes yeah. Just makes.
Once you have kids, yeah. You better be finishing top 10 at least
you
once a year.
You better start finishing. But just finish middle of the pack. Make some cuts. Make some money. But Eli Manning, we'll see what he's going to do. I'm interested to see what he does at the end of the season.
He's got to retire.
I think he's going to retire.
He's got to just call it quits. Because you're absolutely right. Then all of a sudden you're faced with like a Johnny Unitas or Joe Montana. Just these guys, Brett
Favre. Yeah, Joe Montana is even a better example.
These
right?
guys
he
who,
made
just,
the playoffs.
Who couldn't walk away from the game and yet... You know, you're just a former shell of who you were. You're now just that, you know, a jersey number.
Yeah, you're just hanging on.
I mean, Joe Montana, I mean, when he left, you know, and they were under these weird circumstances, kind of like similar to a Peyton Manning, where they probably had a game or two, you know, a good year left. Maybe, you know, with Peyton's case, he had, what, three?
Yeah.
Three good years? Well, two
yep.
and a half. I mean, with Montana, I mean, he led the Chiefs to the playoffs.
Yeah, they beat the Steelers.
But, you know, he was let go because they were making way for Steve Young. Just
yeah.
And he was like, you got to let the young blood in, or like Brett Favre.
Got to bring him in.
Had a couple of good years. It was like, oh, we got this guy Aaron Rodgers. He's kind of good.
Yeah, we better let him play.
So, but that's a unique situation for the Giants, for Eli, because who's behind him?
Yeah.
There's
exactly.
no one there.
There's nobody there. And if they had drafted him, this maybe makes the decision
a
little easier.
Yeah, they probably would have phased him out. But
they're going to draft one now. They're going to go into that draft. They might move up to wherever they got to move up. They don't have to. They probably get the number one pick now.
Yeah. If not one, they're two.
If not one, they're two. There better be a couple of quarterbacks coming in.
And maybe this fire sale is a way of tanking.
Yeah, that's possible. It is possible. You know, just get rid of this, get some money. We're going to rebuild it and start all over again. And if I was Eli, I'd be like, I ain't doing this. I take too many hits. It hurts. I'm not going to rebuild. I'm not going to be part of that. I'd rather take off. All right, 800-777-2907. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. This is SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, 800-777-2907. Thanks for joining us on SB Nation AM on a Wednesday. Red Sox take game one of the World Series. And they do so with Eduardo Nunez hitting a home run, kind of broke away from a one-run game that was actually really good into a four-run lead that wasn't so good. When it comes to safety, there's nothing more important than your vehicle's brakes. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are the exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like Brake Best Select, and Wagner Thermo Quiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts and accessories you need at a guaranteed low price. So game two tonight, David Price will get the ball for the Reds. That's a good shot to get at David Price, but he's been pitching pretty good in this postseason, surprisingly. I wonder how cold it's going to be. I thought at one point the game wasn't going to go down. It looked like it was raining in the beginning. And I thought it was it? Oh, I was like, oh man, don't delay the game or don't get into this weather stuff. I don't want to play until mid November. But you know, they got it through, and it was a cold night. But the Red Sox ended up winning by 4, and they just were relentless on those 2-out hits, 2-out runs. And the Dodgers,
ridiculous.
I know. And if the Dodgers can get a split, though, it'll be okay.
Now, you know what it reminded me of? My son's baseball team. My son's little league, and all little league teams across the country have the same issue. They get 2 outs very easy, very quickly, and then they can't get that 3rd out, and it struggles.
Yeah.
And it's just because, I don't know, is it the nerves that get to them? It's like, oh, we're only 1 out away. You know, that's been my son's team's MO this year. As they get the 2 outs, like first 2-3 batters into that inning, they get those 2 outs quickly. And then they struggle to get that 3rd down. Before we're done, 4 runs have scored. And that's what it felt like watching the Dodgers last night.
Couldn't get Eduardo Nunez out, seriously. You couldn't get him out.
Who's Eduardo Nunez?
No, I mean, geez, even,
you're just
like
making up
earlier,
names, Tony.
Even the Red Sox announcer was like, I'm surprised. Oh, my. Wow. We're getting home runs from everybody this postseason. Wow.
And what did I tell you during the break? He's on the injury report.
I know. God. Yes, exactly.
God.
Exactly.
I mean, albeit it's with an ankle issue, but, you know, he's not Kirk Gibson coming up there smacking a home run. It's Nunez.
You ever watch a game with a friend who like watches their team blow out somebody and they just laugh at everything? It's like, oh, another touchdown! Wow, and you just get it. That's what it must be like with the Red Sox. Like, wow, who would have thought? Everybody's pitching in. Wow, by Andrew Benintendi, he's a good player.
Yeah, I'll give it to him. He did a good job yesterday.
Played for Arkansas, our SEC boy. He did good. He had 4 hits, 3 runs scored.
Did you hear the crowd when he grounded out the final bat?
Oh, they went, oh, what was
oh,
it?
It was just utter disappointment.
Yeah, like, oh, what's wrong with
like,
you?
Like, oh, we could have seen 5 for 5 because he's been seeing the ball so well.
Yep. And I listened to the game last night. I watched the broadcast with my volume turned up listening to Joe Buck. I know everybody wants to go on Twitter and bash Joe Buck for his broadcasting prowess. He was fine last night. He's always good. He's been doing these
John
things for
Smoltz
years.
Was the one who was, I think he was having a little issues.
What was John Smoltz? What was that thing he was doing with, oh God, what was it? Can't remember. Go ahead with your part.
The only, at one point in the game, he gave the expert analyst, which was, you know, if that ball was over the plate, it would have been a strike.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
He said, I mean, on the one hand, he's really, really good.
Yeah,
and
he's good.
You know, and it gives you, and it's all, I mean, it's great having that former player, that pitcher's insight. I mean, he does it very well. He's no Tony Romo. He's not predicting what's happening. But, you know, he's right there with you. He paints a good picture. I mean, even if you weren't watching it, I mean, he only does TV, but if you weren't watching it, you'd be able to tell what's going on in the game just based on his analysis. But every once in a while, he throws that little gem out there that says, you know, hey, if that ball was over the plate, it would have been a strike.
You miss Tim McCarver at all?
No. I think it's a good replacement.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, you know, Tim was great for years and years and years. And, you know, as he got older, I think that's where, you know, not insanity, but, you know, maybe some of the lapse of judgment or keeping with current time started happening.
He struggled with that. You ever read his book, Baseball for Brain Surgeons?
No, but I'm going to.
Yeah, it's one of those books where you read it and you go, I hate baseball. I could never figure this game out. Or on the flip side, you could read it and go, this might be the most perfect game ever invented by man. Like it just depends on your mindset. It is a absolutely detailed book on the game of baseball, how it is managed, how it is played, what each position, like you would think, like with playing shortstop, right? He's just like, oh, you play shortstop. You play between third base and second base. He gives a detailed analysis of exactly what the shortstop is supposed to do, exactly what kind of athlete a good shortstop is, what abilities he is supposed to have. So if you had a kid, for example, and you wanted to know, could he be a upper level shortstop? These are the things he should be able to do. Like he should be able, you know, this, and he does it with every position. He talks about the catcher and how a major league, because he was a catcher, and how you're breaking down a batter and how you're breaking down the pitches. It's a very detailed book about the game, but it was like Tim McCarver was like the only one that could write a book like that. Because if you listen to him for all the years, one of the things he always struggled with, but he got better at because he got training on it. Because there were people in television that said, we can turn this, you know, we can really make this better. Because he was like with the Mets broadcast team and he was on the national broadcast and he really developed in a good, but in his early years, he over-explained stuff, which was correct, but they had to tone it down to say, you're going to lose half your audience if you keep up with this real detailed approach to the game. So he had to sort of dumb it down a little bit for the average fan, especially on these national games in the postseason. But he's a brilliant baseball mind. He really is a brilliant baseball mind in terms of the game. And his book is really good, Baseball for Brain Surgeons. It's a tough read. It's not an easy read at times. Sometimes I had to reread chapters and go, okay, wait a minute. Let me figure this out. But I did enjoy it. I read it on a plane. I read most of it on a plane once, and I was really fascinated with the book. But yeah, but Smoltz is a good replacement, Ron. You're absolutely right about that. We'll talk some college football coming up next as we cruise along on a Wednesday on SB Nation AM.
Waited to the last minute to do your gift shopping? No problem. Head over to giftingmap.com today to see the amazing curated collection of gifts and gifting ideas that the team has assembled for you. Giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting. Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, college football is starting to get really interesting. We've got 9 weeks in. Matt Michelle joins us, Orlando Sentinel, to talk about that. But before we get started with the rankings and who lost and who's moving up the polls, let's start talking UCF, Matt. All right, so they are 10 in the polls. I guess I'll keep asking, if you're looking, what Danny White's letter, what was it trying to do? Was it trying to make a larger point? Was it trying to appeal to the alumni to be a little bit more proud of their school, to show that he's active? What was he trying to do with that?
Well, you know, listen, I think what he was trying to do was, you know, make sure that people understand that UCF is playing really good football right now. You know, they won 20 straight. You know, the fact that they've been at 10 for, 3 weeks now straight, they haven't moved at all in the rankings. You know, they've seen a couple schools that were on byes, you know, leap over them. And I think he's trying to just make the point that, you know, that they should be in consideration for some of this movement. And then, obviously, what happened on Saturday with ESPN Game Day kind of, you know, and Kirk Herbstreit talking a lot about, you know, UCF not being maybe as deserving as other schools in the Group of Five, I think Danny's just trying to make a point that, you know, UCF is, you know, just as or even more deserving, you know, for a chance at the college football playoff. And whether or not UCF gets into the playoff is, you know, going to be one of those things that's going to be debated for a long time. But I think in Danny White's case, he just wants to kind of fight for his program and make sure that they're still, you know, being considered when everyone else just seems to kind of push them to the side.
Do you see any scenario, outside of obliterated chaos, I mean, do you see any scenario where the committee might go, you know what, they may not have the best schedule, but the eyeball test is good enough for me, I'll get them in?
You know, I mean, it would be very slim, to be honest with you. I mean, I hate to say that, but, you know, based on what the committee has talked about, they're not supposed to consider the previous year or previous years, so, you know, they would consider what's going on last year. They would look at this year's body of work. This year they've played really well. They've been, you know, considering they've got a new coaching staff, considering, you know, they've returned almost most of their team. They've played well, but when you look at the schedule, again, that's always going to be the thing that's going to be the sticking point for them. Yes, they've played some good Power 5 schools. They played Pittsburgh. They were supposed to play North Carolina, but they lost that game because of Hurricane Florence, so that hurts them a little bit. And then you look at the American. The American has been kind of up and down this year. If the American was a little stronger, if Cincinnati remained undefeated, if USF is undefeated when they meet, you know, in the last weekend of November, I think you can make that case. I still think they'll be ranked higher than they were last year when the playoff rankings get started, but I think it's going to be an uphill fight for them.
All right, you're in Orlando, so this is this is more of a local. The closer you get to the nucleus story, the more powerful it is. Has there been ever a discussion, a conversation, and serious ones about them maybe grabbing South Florida and ditching the AAC for another conference?
Well, you know, obviously there's been discussion on they'd like to get to another conference at some point. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago when there was talk of expansion and conference realignment. You know, the Big 12 had had some supposed interest in, you know, maybe getting UCF, maybe adding, you know, USF as well, you know, taking the South Florida or the Florida markets with them. You know, there's a huge television market to go in both of those. And, you know, the programs are on the rise. But, you know, again, Big 12 decided not to make a move, decided not to expand. And everyone right now in the Power 5 conferences seems to be kind of, you know, in a nice place right now. Now, whether that will change over the next 3 or 4 years remains to be seen. But I think, obviously, if you're UCF, you would love to jump up to that next level, not just because of the fact that it gives you a better option to get to the college football playoff, but because of the financial aspect of it. You know, if you could go to a Power 5 conference, you get part of that TV deal. You know, listen, if you're UCF and you could get into the SEC, let's just say, and you're making $40 million a year off their, you know, media rights deal, that's way more than the $2 million a year they're making right now. Yeah. So it would be huge on so many levels. But, again, as a school, you can't just say, we want to move up and, you know, it's going to happen. You have to, you almost have to kind of bide your time until the conferences themselves decide they're going to make a case.
All right, let's get to what happened over the weekend and how it is affecting what we are going to be seeing down the line. Ohio State loses to Purdue, but I've seen this act before. I've seen them lose and come right back. I've seen other teams lose and come right back. But it felt like people really wanted to bury Ohio State. Is this a more of an uphill climb, do you think? Or is it just like anybody else, just win your conference and roll with the punches?
Well, I think it's a little bit more of an uphill climb because, you know, I'll be honest with you, I think Purdue being unranked, you know, and also kind of not being considered one of the powers in the Big Ten hurts Ohio State's, you know, case. You know, last year when they got thumped by Iowa, I think Iowa was a better football program, you know, at the time. And I think people considered, okay, that's not nearly as surprising. Purdue, it's a little bit more because of the fact that I know Purdue's on the rise, but they're nowhere near in that Iowa status just yet. So I think that's a little bit of an uphill climb. I also throw in the fact that Michigan is playing really well right now. They look like a playoff contender. They've got a championship-level defense. The offense is playing well. So to me, I think for Ohio State, this does feel like a little bit more of an uphill climb. You know, they're going to have to get past, you know, Michigan at the very end. And if Michigan continues to play the way they do, they got to face a Penn State team that's probably going to be ranked. You know, they're going to have to, you know, eventually face Ohio State. You know, if they get past those two teams, I think Michigan can find its way into the playoff if it wins the Big Ten title outright.
They both are on a bye, but next weekend, LSU and Alabama. And I'm wondering just from sort of, you know, the speculation that we do in college football and how big this game will be in Baton Rouge from a standpoint of if the Tigers were to pull this upset off and beat Alabama. If I'm another conference, that would scare me, the idea, because Alabama, I don't think, goes anywhere with one loss. And LSU could run the table and get in. If I'm other conferences, I'd be worried about that outcome. How big is that game in Baton Rouge from that standpoint?
Oh, I think it's huge. I agree with you. I think if LSU were to beat Alabama, I think Alabama doesn't fall very far, maybe a spot. And then all of a sudden you've got two SEC teams right back where we were last year, you know, talking about getting into the college football playoffs. So if I'm the Big Ten, if I'm the Big 12, if I'm the Pac-12 especially, I'm concerned by that fact because all of a sudden then, you know, you kind of opens the door. Now if Alabama beats LSU, you know, then I don't necessarily think you could make the case that two SEC teams can get in. Maybe whoever wins Georgia, Florida, or whoever wins the East finds a way in, but I think it's going to be a lot harder for that to happen. So if I'm one of if I'm Notre Dame, you know, I'm concerned because you kind of don't want to have that two SEC team, you know, a model back again from last year. But I think, to be honest with you, this LSU-Alabama game is going to be the best challenge that Alabama faces all year because I think LSU is the most physical team that Alabama has faced, especially up front on the line and on both offensive and defensive lines. So I think it's going to be a good game, and I think whoever does win, obviously, it's going to have the inroad to the playoff.
So you got Georgia, Florida, and Kentucky in the East. Is Kentucky like the little brother that's hanging around that we got to kick away, or are they like legitimately in this category of the top teams in the East? Are we waiting for that one game where Kentucky falls apart? I mean, how good are the Wildcats when in relation to a Florida or a Georgia team?
You know, I think that they're really good. I mean, listen, they beat Florida early
on. Florida,
you know,
you're
and
right.
I think that was, yeah, you know, so I mean. It's kind of funny to say this, but we're really in that kind of spot right now where in a couple of weeks we could be talking about Kentucky being the East champion. You know, I mean, if everything goes right, if Florida were to knock off Georgia this weekend and then, you know, Kentucky beats Georgia next weekend, you know, then all of a sudden you've got the Wildcats in the East, which is something I don't think we would have thought about at the beginning of the year talking about. So they're right there. They've got a solid running attack. You know, they've done well offensively. You look at what they do. You know, with their defense, the defense has been very physical. So they're right there. This is Mark Stoops' best team, I think, so far. And, you know, again, they're kind of waiting out this weekend to see what happens because they really want Florida to win because then that can still make the case for them. But if Georgia wins this weekend against Florida, and then that kind of makes next week's game, again, interesting with them because they're just right there. All they got to do is keep winning and hope that some other teams lose.
Oh, what would Kentucky fans do that weekend for the SEC championship game if they were in? I think the basketball team's playing UNC Greensboro at Rupp Arena or something like that. They wouldn't know what to do with themselves if they had to go to Atlanta for a football championship.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think it'd be crazy. It might be the one time that the football team might outdraw the basketball team, you know, that weekend. So, I mean, I think it'd be great for Kentucky football, and I think
I
it would
too.
Be a huge for Mark Stoops. Because, again, here's a guy who's been kind of consistently trying to get the program back, you know, to an elite level where he's at a school where, let's be honest, as we just joked, it's more about basketball than it is about football. So him to even get there would be huge to kind of turn this program around and get them back on the map when it comes to football.
I got to be honest with you. On Saturday was like the first time I had watched Washington State play, and I love them. I absolutely love them. But are they the best team in the Pac-12?
They're the best team in the Pac-12 right now. I mean,
yeah, right
I mean
now.
This is
until
the problem with the Pac-12. Yeah, this is the problem with the Pac-12 the last couple of years is it just seems to be a rotating, you know, a version of teams that, you know, take to the top. You know, right now they represent the best hope for the Pac-12 of getting a possible team in the playoff, you know. But it's not going to be easy for them because they go to Stanford this weekend and they're going to get a challenge coming off a very emotional win over Oregon and having, you know, ESPN's game day there and all the crowd and everything like that. So they've got to beat Stanford. And then, of course, that Washington Apple Cup game is going to be huge for them. But they're a fun team to watch. They throw the football around, obviously. Mike Leach's team loves to throw the football around. And then you've got Mike Leach himself, who's a distinct personality, you know, and kind of makes things fun. So it'll be interesting to see if they can continue this ride. But you always feel like there's probably a game down the road that may kind of trip them up.
Well, one final question. Let's go with the Big 12. We got Texas up there. Oklahoma just changed defensive coordinators. Even though they lost to Texas, they hang around. West Virginia with one loss, although they have a little bit more of a tough track. How are you handicapping the Big 12?
Well, I still think Oklahoma. You know, I know Texas is in the top. You know, but I'm not 100% sold that Texas is back. You know, I think they're a year ahead of schedule, maybe where I would have thought they would be at. So I still need to see what they can do. They're playing really good defense. Which I think is obviously key to winning a championship. You know, they're obviously have some issues at quarterback with, I think Sam Ellinger was kind of banged up. So it'll be interesting to see where they go in the next couple weeks. You know, Oklahoma, I think they've got the offense that they can kind of overcome any issues with defense. If they can improve just slightly on the defensive side of the football, I think they've got a chance to win, you know, the fourth straight Big 12 championship. And I agree with West Virginia. I think West Virginia, there was a lot that was shown in their loss, you know, from Iowa State that they could be stopped. So, I think it's going to be fun. Let's not forget that Oklahoma and West Virginia play in the regular season finale. So it's going to be interesting to see which one of those teams comes out of that. And they've got a Big 12 championship game now, you know, so one of those top two teams is going to end up facing each other.
Matt Michel, Orlando Sentinel on college football. Always good talking to you, my friend. We'll catch up soon.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care.
You got it. Matt Michel again, Orlando Sentinel on our BetDSI hotline. And we talked some college football. And, yeah, I had to look it up really quick. Kentucky does play on December 1st, which I believe is the schedule for the SEC title game. And I don't know if they're on a tournament or whatever, but it's just interesting because he's right. Look, I think it would be good for college football and I think it would be good for Kentucky. Kentucky, we all know it's a basketball crazy school. I mean, it is. I mean, Kentucky travels really well. When the SEC tournament was in Atlanta, it was Catlanta. You know, in Nashville, they took it over. They're an amazing. If you've never seen Big Blue Nation at a basketball game, tournament, whatever, on the road, not at Rupp, but on the road, it's insane. I mean, it's insane how amazingly they travel, and they'll take over your town for basketball. If this Kentucky team makes it to the SEC championship, God bless them. I mean, God bless that school. It'd be interesting to see what kind of traveling caravan will go down there. They'll bring the group. But Kentucky does play. The basketball team does play that weekend, so it'd be fun. But yeah, Kentucky's the real deal. I it's funny because just you don't talk about them at all in football, and forever and ever and ever. And now now they've got a team in the 12th in the rankings, right on top of the SEC East with Georgia and Florida. This could get really good. 800-777-2907 on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And all of our guests on the BetDSI.com Insider Line. Anyone can get a 100% bonus when you sign up at BetDSI.com using our code WIN125. That's a 125% bonus. Join the winning team. Sign up at BetDSI.com. Use the promo code WIN125. You'll more than double your bet. You know what stinks? I really thought South Carolina was going to have a good year. I bought into all of the magazine hype. I got all these college football magazines over the summer. Watch out for the Gamecocks. They got a good defense, and now they can throw the ball, too, and they're mediocre.
They're only good at winning lotteries.
That's it. Yeah, winning lotteries. That's exactly That's right. It. Way to go, Palmetto State.
Dodging hurricanes and winning lotteries.
Yep.
By the way, didn't Florence really hit them bad, too?
I think
but
so,
all we
yeah.
heard about was North Carolina?
Yeah, we heard North Carolina. They got hammered, too. Yeah.
Big Brother took all the spotlight.
Exactly. 1 week from now, Halloween, you ready for candy? You got it ready to go?
Sure.
Store yet?
No, I haven't gone yet. I mean, like I said, we did buy some candy because we had my son's birthday party earlier this month, and my wife said, you know, we need to save this. She went up so far as because we put it in like one of those grocery bags you just put on top of the fridge.
Yeah.
She
sure.
then took that bag and threw it on top of the pantry, and
oh,
I didn't
okay.
know.
Oh.
So I thought she did. I thought she threw it away, or she's like, I'm hiding it. I'm like, where are you hiding it? I need it.
Oh.
I need my fix. I'm tapping my arm. Need my fix.
I know, me too. I can't wait. I can't wait for it.
So it sat on top of our pantry. I brought it back down. I put it on top of the fridge. And then like a few days go by and she goes, you put it back, didn't you?
Well,
yeah. I did. Need to make it easier for me to get to when it's late at night and I need a chocolate.
1 week, Halloween. Fantastic. I still haven't decided whether or not I'm going to go get the big size candy bars for the greedy,
don't do
selfish
it.
Children in my neighborhood that don't deserve it.
Yeah, just, you know, start off, get good size, good fun size.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to
do. See if they deserve big size.
You know, I gave out the full-size candy bars, but back then I knew all the kids. I don't know any kids now.